barbaric, savage, and brutally mean. The orcs are a relentless plague across the galaxy who care for nothing other than the propagation of their eternal war. Their overwhelmingly violent hordes can be seen as a true green tide, which will sweep its way across the stars, allowing the orcs to claim whatever worlds their ruling war boss desires. These green-skinned brutes enjoy nothing more than a good fight, and every aspect of their culture, from the overarching cults to the smallest interactions between orcs, will revolve around the vicious art of war. For an orc, conflicts can start small, with many a warboy finding great pleasure in squashing an arrogant grot or brawling with their camp members over who gets the last mug of fungal beer. However, small squabbles are not where the true joy of battle can be found. Orcs will relish in the opportunity to fight in a large-scale war, and they will dream of a chance to charge across a ruined and blasted landscape to get stuck in with the boys and to chop away at whatever squishy foes they have found. In order to best instigate and initiate these conflicts, the orcs will gather themselves into a vast war-driven horde known as a war. This group will be so large that any conflicts they cause will surely be of an apocalyptic scale, which will ravage and destroy entire star systems. Once the war has begun, there is little that can be brought to stop its relentless and savage advance. The orcs will set out across the stars, aboard their ramshackle spacecraft, looting and tearing apart all who might foolishly stand in their way. The orcish instinct for war is innate to their very being. Their species has only ever known war, and the boys will only ever seek out the thunderous roars of a good battle. Engaging in conflicts and ruthless raids is as vital to an orc as breathing air is to a human. The drums of war are akin to their heartbeat, and getting stuck in with a fight is utterly essential for their own well-being. Whilst an orc will not wither and die without a good battle, they will surely become rather irate, an emotion which will rapidly progress into an unquenchable fury at finding their very nature going unfulfilled. To deny an orc with the thrill of a battle should be seen as borderline animal abuse, and the violence behind their red eyes will continue to grow until they simply lash out, where they will pounce on an unfortunate creature, likely a Gretchen, who will have to act as his punching bag, until the boy has gotten all his anger out of his system. Even amidst an orc camp or settlement, there will be a constant fight for power. Orcs know that the biggest, greenest, and meanest orc is surely the best, and so they will brawl and fight with each other to prove their strengths in the hopes that it will aid in their rise to leadership amongst the clan. The orc who bests all others crumps all his compatriots and claims the most teeth is known as the war boss, and he is the de facto chief and ruler of his tribe, and it is only he who may direct the boys on their warpath. To note on this, becoming a war boss is not a permanent title. Any other orc may fight and kill the previous war boss if they feel particularly mean and green that day. And if they are successful, then they may claim the title of war boss for themselves. Also, a war boss will only have the support of his tribe for as long as he provides them with conflicts to engage in. A placid and cowardly war boss who does not lead his boys into battle will quickly be overthrown and killed by a more proactive orc who is more inclined to jump into a colossal war. Within the majority of orc camps, there will be a constant squabble for the title of war boss, with some holding power for weeks and some for only minutes before they are overthrown and trampled back into line with the rest of the orc rabble. The tribe may venture out in raiding parties or get into little scraps with other groups of orcs or species native to the planet, but their aspirations are rarely higher than having a good fight or getting a good pot of teeth. This lack of ambition and the constant power struggle tends to keep the orcs preoccupied with themselves, and oftentimes the orcs will require a truly visionary war boss who will set his gaze out into the stars, with plans of bringing his boys across the entire galaxy for nothing but a good war. This Goldilocks period of orc infighting does not last forever. Once a tribe grows large enough, it seems to reach some kind of critical mass, where the simple bickering quarrels between boys is no longer satisfactory, and they will crave a different scale of conflict. There are two leading theories on what may cause a war to emerge. Firstly, at times, a tribe may seemingly reach something akin to a subconscious agreement, where the orcs realize that their way of life is not conducive towards their own war-driven happiness, and so they will band together and set out to find new opponents to fight and kill. This may be due to the orcs spending a prolonged period of time at peace, where a collective frustration and discomfort would have built up, leaving the boys with a craving for conflict. The second theory is that a war is sparked by a single orc who becomes emboldened by an overwhelming sense of leadership, causing him to rile up his fellow orcs into a state of warish fervor. This could be because a war boss is particularly strong and inspires or forces his fellow orcs to follow his orders, as has been the case with the legendary Ghazghul Mag-Ukh-Thraka. Alternatively, it could be that an orc boy suffered a rather bad head injury and awoke with the voices of the orc deities Gork and Mork yelling in his ear to gather his tribe and set off into the galaxy for a good fight. In the early stages, the orcs can begin gathering in groups as small as a few dozen boys, but this will quickly snowball into a green tide which may swallow the planet. In order to drum up the numbers, the war boss may lead his tribe to conquer other orc groups within the area, crumping their own respective bosses and rallying the remaining boys to his own cause. Alternatively, a rather crafty boss might call in a few favors with a mech, who will build a great effigy of orciness to attract other orcs on the planet to join in with the coming battles. Whatever the methods, word will quickly spread across a planet of this luminary war boss. Tribes from every corner of the world will descend upon this group, with some seeking to take part in the potential war, and others hoping to kill the war boss and claim the hoard of orcs for themselves. The successful war boss will continue to swell his tribe with new members, all of whom are ready for the oncoming war. And as the tribe grows, more and more orcs will hear of the commotion and will try to quickly join in, not wanting to be left out of all the fun. As more and more orcs join in, the original tribal grounds will prove to be far too meek to sustain the sheer volume of boys who are trudging through it. The mechs will begin by expanding this from being but a humble assortment of tents up to a small shanty town, and then finally into a sprawling complex of orc dwellings, fighting pits and squig homes, giving the boys a perfect place to prepare for the upcoming battle. The flood of new orc boys brings with it a great many boons and bonuses to the group. Innumerable mechs will inevitably become a part of this new society and will be quick to start tinkering and messing with whatever they can get their grubby green hands on. The mechs will rapidly begin tearing down parts of the settlement, rebuilding them as advanced workshops where they will begin with their disorganized work. Almost as soon as the mechs begin welding and hammering away, ramshackle vehicles will start to trundle out onto the streets, driven by boys inclined to do nothing but go fast. They will gladly accept modifications from the mechs, who will revel in attaching new rockets or more wheels to their creations, caring only for the fact that they could rather than if they should. Some of the larger orcs may violently request that the mechs hurry up and build them a far more impressive piece of machinery to carry them into battle. The streets soon become congested with gigantic battle wagons equipped with massive artillery pieces with vast bays which are able to fit a few dozen boys within, who will drive across a battlefield, gleefully blasting away at their foes before leaping out and getting stuck into the fun themselves. Some of these mechs will inevitably form smaller tribes themselves, seeking to outdo each other with their bizarre mechanical creations. They will even attract some of the other orcs who are more than willing to volunteer themselves to join in with their crews or to have some piece of orcish machinery built around them. The mechs might even begin working with the Pain Boys to build crude surgical facilities, in which boys will happily enter for a quick bit of dental work, only to leave with a fully cybernetic head. Some of the poorer mechs will have to make do with whatever scrap they can find, and as such, they will produce roughly cobbled together walkers known as Killikans, which will stumble out from the workshops, piloted by exasperated Gretchen, who long dreamed of a day where they would be the ones to squash something, rather than being victimized yet again. These walking cans are dwarfed by Deaf Dreads, which is a larger scale version containing an orc who is even angrier than the Gretchen, and they simply want to crush and kill whatever they can get their steel claws on as quickly as possible. These mech groups will form small armies of walking, murderous tin cans, sometimes leading several hundred constructs into battle. And these groups are known as dread mobs. Each one of these clunking mechanical creations will be equipped with a wide variety of weaponry, from huge whirring saw blades to crushing hydraulic press units to gigantic rockets or ramshackle shooters. Eventually, some of the richer and more technical mechs may band together and decide that constructing Killikans and Deaf Dreads are just not scratching their creative itch. And so in order to fulfill their crazed desire to build, they will begin to work on their masterpiece. Once ready, huge, hulking, walking fortresses such as Stompus or Gargants will crash out from a workshop, having been built too big to be sustained in such a meager building. These titans will trample their way through the settlement, being piloted by dozens of orcs and hundreds of Gretchen, who are all eager to get into a battle and reduce their enemies to craters of smoldering ash. For the orcs who are less technical and more fighty, they will form their own groups within the greater tribe. Like attracts like, and as such, orcs who are inclined to a certain way of war will find each other, and they will form their own hierarchy before setting themselves up for the war. The most common subgroup to form has been observed in almost every warg encountered, and it is known as the Cult of Speed. This is formed of orcs, who simply love to go fast more than anything else. They will be closely affiliated with the mechs, who, as previously discussed, will gladly augment their buggies and bikes with huge engines or afterburners to push them into new realms of speed. As any smart orc knows, red ones go faster, and so the adherence to the Cult of Speed will paint everything they own red, purely in the hopes that it will allow them to reach even higher top speeds. They will paint their vehicles red, wear red clothes, and even dip their bullets in red paint, all due to their instinctual knowledge of red means fast. Some of the speed freaks, who are unsatisfied by how slowly one can move on the ground, may request a fighter jet be built for them. The mechs will come together, have a big think on how to make such a contraption, and with a spark of genius, they will essentially bolt a set of wings onto an intercontinental ballistic missile before thinking on whether or not they should remove the warhead, and then they will finally strap a seat onto the mechanical model of perfection. Once the speed freak lays eyes upon this magnum opus of orkiness, this showpiece of mechanical engineering, this masterstroke of ingenuity, he may shed a single tear of happiness before leaping onto the craft and launching himself into the air, diving and corkscrewing around, much to the envy of the relatively slow, land-dwelling orcs below him. Some of the more anarchic orcs will also group up to form Stormboy tribes. The word anarchic is used very loosely here, as in the minds of an orc. Their idea of anarchy is to adhere to strict rules and training regiments in a manner more closely resembling a human military unit rather than a squad of orcs. The Storm Boys will have a regular schedule, with drilling and marching practice being performed every day, and orcish songs being chanted all the while. Do not assume that because these orcs are disciplined, that they are not certifiably insane. All this discipline leads them to is for them to strap a gigantic rocket onto their back, allowing them to careen and soar across the skies into battle, plunging into a fight faster than their less regimented kin. Some of the more unstable orcs, who would have been twitching ever more frequently since the war started to form, will find their place amongst the Weird Boy Covens. These psychically sensitive orcs are emboldened by the strengthening surge of energy caused by the orc gathering, and will utilize the communal green energy to conjure forth magics and powers against their enemies. They can also use their psychic skills to simply teleport or to throw other orcs across a battlefield towards the front line, allowing them to get stuck into combat, hacking and chopping away at the poor sods who just witnessed 100 orcs flying through the air towards them in a haze of green orky energy. With the orcs now numbering in the millions, and their forces accompanied by thousands of vehicles and walkers, they can finally begin their war. The war boss in charge will drum up the orcs into a fervor of battle, using their anticipation for war as the key to getting them fired up into a frenzy, at which point they will all bellow out a deafening roar, signaling that the time for war is nigh. The green tide will flow out from their shanty settlements to cover the entire world. Native populations will be quickly subdued by the oncoming warpath, being killed or enslaved by the rampant horde of orcs. Any industrial settlements captured will be either torn down for parts or repurposed into building even more mechanical wonders for the horde, much to the delight of the mechs. The deluge of destruction will continue to spread across the planet, with the orcs destroying, capturing, and conquering all who were unfortunate enough to find themselves upon the world. Smoke from thousands of engines plumes into the skies, proving to be an ominous signal of the approaching orc tide. The horizons will be pocked with the silhouettes of massive stompers and gargants, awkwardly but violently crashing their way closer to the planet's defenders. Dozens of fighter jets will be seen banking and twirling through the skies, leaving trails of thick black smog behind them before dive bombing towards the ground, launching a huge array of ordnance down onto the battlefield. Immensely large armies of orc boys charge across the planet's surface, interspaced by racing attack bikes and buggies, carrying even more orcs towards the front lines. Huge banners and icons are carried by the tide, signifying their allegiance to the war boss and to their own minor tribes. The tide is so immense that the plumes of dust and smoke can be seen from space, appearing as an enveloping wave of pollution and death. Some horrified defenders may flee the world on escape craft, hoping to save their own lives, and perhaps warn others of what has transpired. But for most, they will be swallowed up by the green tide. As the orcs finally come full circle and realize that they have crumped everything worth crumping, they will turn to their war boss for direction. For if he cannot find anyone else to kill, then fighting him may be the next best thing. A clever, big-brained war boss will realize that his demise will soon come if he does not redirect the horde. So he will summon up his mechs and instruct them to cobble together a fleet of starships large enough to carry them off-world and into outer space. Most of the mechs will agree and will start work on the ships, but some will ponder if there is a quicker way and will begin to build vast teleporter pads where the orcs may step on and supposedly warp to where they need to get to. Whatever the method, the Horde is poised to leave the world. And with the war boss at its head, the orcs will blast their way through the stars, gathering more and more boys to their cause, growing into an unstoppable green and orky force, which will carve apart the galaxy in its mighty war.